Today, I want to, and I'm not going to take long in doing this. We're just going to read one passage of Scripture. We're going to read it once. If my ushers can help me out, we're going to actually pass it out to you. It's in the Passion Translation. So if you have your phones and you want to use your Bible app, you can do that. If you don't, we actually have papers with the Scripture on it that you can actually have and read from and then just take it home with you. So if you need one of those, when the ushers walk by, and we have a bunch of them here, just raise your hand and they'll give you, there's enough for everyone in the room if you need one, okay? So just raise your hand and they'll go ahead and pass those out. Thank you, guys. So the passage of Scripture today we're going to look at, I touched on Wednesday night with our adult and youth. And this passage of Scripture is so powerful. And it wrecked me when I read it earlier that day. And I want to read through this with you and then kind of dig into it a little bit and discover what Paul was speaking to when he's talking to the church in Corinth. And this is his second letter to the church in Corinth. And he's trying to persuade them. He's trying to persuade them to follow not the law, not the old covenant, but the new. How many of you have ever, I heard this yesterday and I thought it was really enlightening. Leaders are repeaters. Leaders are repeaters. And you'll see in this scripture passage that Paul repeats himself over and over and over again because he's trying to drive home something that is so critical and so valuable. And I want us to look at it today with fresh eyes and renewed hearts because so many of us fall into this trap. Subconsciously, without us even realizing, I lived there most of my life. I lived in this trap because Satan is an amazing deceiver. That's what the name Satan means, deceiver. And he uses the truth of the Word of God to deceive us, to where we have trained our minds to live one way and to be a certain way, not even realizing it's not the way God intended us to be. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Our minds must be daily renewed through His Holy Spirit. So here's what we're going to do. We're just going to read down through the entire thing. I'm not going to stop. I'm just going to read through. We're going to read verses 7 through 18. And then we're going to go back and we're going to highlight some things. We're going to read through it again and highlight some of these key elements here in the scripture passage. So here we go, right down through. I promise I will not stop. You can hold me to that. Verse 7, even the ministry that was characterized by chiseled letters on stone tablets came with a dazzling measure of glory, though it produced death. The Israelites couldn't bear to gaze on the glowing face of Moses because of the radiant splendor shining from his countenance, a glory destined to fade away. Yet how much more radiant is this new and glorious ministry of the Spirit that shines from us? For if the former ministry of condemnation was ushered in with a measure of glory, how much more does the ministry that imparts righteousness far excel in glory? What once was glorious no longer holds any glory because of the increasingly greater glory that has replaced it. The fading ministry came with a portion of glory, but now we embrace the unfading ministry of a permanent impartation of glory. So then, with this amazing hope living in us, we step out in freedom and boldness to speak truth. We are not like Moses, who used a veil to hide the glory to keep the Israelites from staring at him as it faded away. Their minds were closed and hardened. For even to this day, that same veil covers over their minds when they hear the words of the former covenant. that veil has not yet been lifted from them, for it is only eliminated when one is joined with the Messiah. So until now, whenever the Old Testament is being read, the same blinding comes over their hearts. But the moment one turns to the Lord with an open heart, the veil is lifted. And they see. Now the Lord I'm referring to is the Holy Spirit. And wherever he is Lord, there is freedom. We can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Woo! I don't know about you, but that passage gets me going. I like it a lot. It's good. And he uses the word glory a whole lot in that passage. What is glory? We say that word a lot. To God be the glory, great things, right? Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen. Glory to God in the highest. But what does the word glory mean? The word glory means weight. The weight of something. The worth of something. The worthiness of someone. The intrinsic value that someone or something holds. There are a lot of things that can produce glory. A lot of things hold glory and value. But what does it mean when we talk about God's glory? His worthiness, his weight, his intrinsic value. That is something that is so magnificent and so mind-blowing that in his presence right now, angels are falling on their face because even the heavenly host around his throne in the presence of his glory cannot even stand because of the weight of his presence. But I want to show you something, that there's a difference. And Jim Svoboda and I were talking before the service, because he actually, we had a discussion in our rehearsal this morning, and he actually went home and was doing some Bible reading based off of what we talked about. And there is a difference between the reaction of to his glory that we see here in the Old Testament with the Israelites, and that we see in the New Testament. Jim was speaking of John the Revelator in Revelation when he was cast onto the Isle of Patmos and the glory of God came down. And what did John do? Fainted. He was out because of the weight of the glory of God. It was so amazing. He physically could not stand. I love the line in the song, Great I Am. There is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am. So let's look at this. Where do we see this difference here in Scripture? Let's go back to verse 7. I'm going to read through it again. I will stop this time. Even the ministry that was characterized by chiseled letters on stone tablets came with a dazzling measure of glory, though it produced death. Okay, what's he talking about here? The law, the Ten Commandments. When they were given, obviously it was a glorious moment to behold when Moses stood in God's presence and he etched out on stone tablets the law. And when he came down, it says here in verse 7, the Israelites could not bear to gaze on the glowing face of Moses because of the radiant splendor shining from his countenance, a glory destined to fade away. The glory of God terrified the Israelites. And this was not the first time this happened. We all remember, or if we've read it before, in Exodus, when God wants Moses to lead the Israelites up to Mount Sinai at the foot of the mountain, and God wants to come down and meet with the Israelite people. And God's presence comes down in a cloud with smoke and fire. And the Israelites are like, whoa, okay, plan B. Moses, you go up, you talk to God, then you come back down and you tell us what he says. Because this is freaking us out. We can't do this. This is terrifying. And that's what Moses did. And when he came down out of the presence of God, he was radiating with the glory of God. His face was glowing. The Israelites were terrified because even the radiance of the glory of God on Moses himself was so intense, they couldn't stand to look at Moses. So what did Moses do? He covered his face with a veil. Let's keep reading. Yet how much more, verse 8, radiant is the new and glorious ministry of the Spirit that shines from us, not on us. Do you get that? How much more glorious is the ministry of the Spirit that shines from us? For if the former ministry of condemnation, the law, was ushered in with a measure of glory, how much more the ministry that imparts righteousness far excel in glory? What once was glorious no longer holds any glory because of the increasingly greater glory that replaced that. You see here, Paul is contrasting between a ministry that brings awareness of sin. That's why the law was given. The law was given so the Israelite community, the people of God, would become aware of their sin, aware of their imperfection. How many of you have ever been pulled over for speeding? Now keep your hands up if you honestly did not know you were speeding. Okay, some of you, that's good. It's good. Thank you for being honest. When the officer walks up to your car and you claim ignorance, I didn't know that was the speed limit, right? Generally, that doesn't have much of an effect on the consequence of what has happened. Because you broke the law. The law, right? The rules that you were aware of, you intentionally, consciously broke. And so there were a consequence from breaking the law. If there was no speed limit, would you have gotten pulled over? No. Because you can't break a law that hasn't been given. The law was given to bring awareness of our imperfection and of our sin. And not only that, but to bring awareness to our need for a Savior. The law was given so that we would know we needed a Savior because we're doomed without a Savior. And God gave the law. And here Paul is contrasting a ministry that brings awareness of sin and leads to condemnation and a new ministry that confirms that we are made righteous and innocent by the work of the cross. The fading ministry came with a portion of glory, but now we embrace the unfading ministry of a permanent impartation of glory. The permanent impartation of glory is what? The Holy Spirit. The glory of the Holy Spirit is permanent. It is unfading. It is unending. It doesn't go away. So then, verse 12, with this amazing hope living in us, the Holy Spirit is living in us. The glory of God resides in us. We step out in freedom and in boldness to speak the truth, because we are no longer defined by a list of do's and don'ts, but we are now defined, and our identity is found in the righteousness of Jesus. It has nothing to do with what you do or do not do. You are not saved by works. You're not saved by being a good Christian person. I heard someone define another person they were taught, and there's nothing wrong with this, but they were a good Christian person. That's great, but being a good Christian person doesn't save you. Jesus saves. The new covenant, the promise. And that's where I live. That's what I was talking about. And this is no fault of anyone's. But I lived in a place for so long that I thought if I say the right things and do the right things and look the right way and be the good Christian boy, then God is going to be pleased with me. And I'm going to go to heaven because I do the right things. And without Jesus, God doesn't care whether you do or don't do the right things, because it's meaningless. Nothing else matters than Jesus. And that's what Paul's trying to communicate here. We are not like Moses, verse 13, we gotta keep going, who used the veil to hide the glory to keep the Israelites from staring at him as it faded away. Their minds were closed and hardened. For even to this day, that same veil comes over their minds when they hear the words of the former covenant. The veil has not yet been lifted from them, for it is only eliminated when one is joined with the Messiah. See, here's what we don't realize. Here's what they did not realize thousands of years ago, that the law was a temporary measure that pointed to a permanent solution. The law was never ever meant to govern us forever. It was meant to point us to our Savior, to a new hope, to a righteousness that far exceeds what the law could ever give us. Verse 15, so until now, whenever the Old Testament is being read, the same blind, remember I told you about repetition? Leaders are repeaters. You get, Paul is like saying the same thing over and over and over again. When the Old Testament is being read, the same blinding comes over their hearts. But the moment one turns to the Lord with an open heart, the veil is lifted and they see. We can't lift the veil. Only Jesus can do that. Only when we turn and we fix our eyes on Jesus does that veil come off. Now, the Lord I'm referring to here is the Holy Spirit. This is so good. This is why this is my favorite translation of Scripture right now. Because I've said the same thing, and it's true. I'm not saying it's not true, but I've never understood it in this context before. Wherever the Holy Spirit is, there is freedom. Say it again. Wherever the Holy Spirit is, there is freedom. Wait a minute. If God's Spirit is everywhere, he's omnipresent, so why isn't there freedom everywhere? But how we see it here makes so much more sense. Verse 17. Now, the Lord I'm referring to is the Holy Spirit, and wherever he is Lord, there is freedom. Right? Mind blown. When I read that, I'm like, okay, I get that now. That makes so much more sense to me now. Wherever the Holy Spirit is ruling, wherever the Holy Spirit is speaking truth into your life, and it's changing you, it's empowering you. It's not your own strength, but it's Christ's strength perfected in our weakness. It's our 100% submission to the Holy Spirit in our lives. There's freedom there. That's where there's freedom. Wherever he is Lord, wherever he has full control, wherever there is no plan B, there's freedom. Whenever we don't give God an ultimatum, there's freedom. We can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. See, that's really, really interesting because nobody drew close to God prior to the cross. Because what happened when you stepped into the presence of God? If you were let's go even further back. What happens if you came into the presence of a king uninvited? Death. If you approached the king in his presence uninvited, you were killed. If you came uninvited into the presence of God in the tabernacle and the temple, went behind into the Holy of Holies, behind the curtain, what happened? Boom. You died. Only the priests were allowed once a year to go into the presence of God. One time a year. They even had little bells on the end of their robes so people knew when they were in the presence of God. But look, Paul is saying, wake up, people. We can all draw close to him now with the veil removed from our faces through Jesus and the righteousness that he gives to us. We don't have to be afraid anymore. We have all become a royal priesthood. We have all become his people. And he is inviting us into his presence. Because before that, all we could see are our imperfections. When we look at God, all we see is how mighty he is. And he's a judgmental God. He's a God of wrath. And he punishes our sin. And we are so unworthy and unholy and imperfect. And we are. Our greatest accomplishments are like filthy rags in his presence. But when one turns to Jesus, when we fix our eyes on his glory and we are joined with the Messiah, all of the imperfections, all of the sin, all the shame, all the guilt, all of that falls off. And we have been made new in his presence. We are joined to his royal family. We are his sons and we are his daughters. We are co-heirs with Christ in the kingdom of God. And he says, come on into my presence. Draw close to me. I want you to be with me. I want to have an intimate relationship with you where you know my heart as your father, not just as your Lord and as your God, but as your father who loves you, who has amazing plans for your life, who wants to be all you need. Come close to me. Father, remove the veil from our eyes that it's not about performance. The Holy Spirit is the one. We become transformed by the renewing of our minds. Who does the renewing of our minds? The Holy Spirit, not us. You can't think the right way and do the right things. That comes from the Holy Spirit's working in you. He gives you that strength. He gives you that wisdom. He gives you those abilities to step out in boldness and say, this is who I am. I am a child of God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit does that. He transforms us. Guys, I hope you're getting it today, because it's so vital that we don't live in this place anymore, but that we live in his presence with the veil removed from our eyes, seeing Jesus for who he truly, truly is. My wife's going to come up and bring it home today.
I think you brought it already. Wow. Oh. From glory to glory. That is who we are. That is how we move. That is how he works in us. It isn't from mess to mess. He doesn't look at you and say, what a mess. He looks at you and says, look, my glory. Because you know what he sees when he looks at you? He sees his son. He sees the face of Jesus. He sees his Holy Spirit pouring all over you. You with unveiled faces who have acknowledged, who have turned and said, yes, Jesus, I need you. I need you. He moves in. He brings his Spirit in, and he begins the work of the gospel in your life. And he moves you from glory to glory. For there is no shame, there is no guilt, there is no condemnation in the Spirit of the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So who are we? Who has he designed us to be? His daughters and his sons. What did he send Jesus to the cross to do? To bring us back there. How are we to operate? From glory to glory, Mary. From glory to glory. Carrie told me this week she had a problem. And she figured out that it was the enemy attacking her. And she said this morning, I have great joy over this problem. I don't know why. This is weird. It is weird that I am excited that I have a problem that I identified and I conquered. I am excited that the Holy Spirit gave me the vision to see what was happening. I didn't try and fix it. I didn't try and control it. I asked for help. From glory to glory. Yes, he's going to attack. He's going to be there trying to deceive us. He's going to be there to try and say, that's a lie. What you're hearing right now is a lie. There's no freedom. That's just crazy. You got to do, and he's going to try and trick you to go back. Just like Paul was talking to the Corinthians. Don't go back. Don't go back. Let's go. Let's run. Let's run with abandon. In freedom. We don't preach ourselves. This is the next chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. We don't preach ourselves, but rather the lordship of Jesus Christ. For we are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let brilliant light shine out of darkness, is the one who has cascaded his light into us. The brilliant dawning light of the glorious knowledge of God as we gaze into the face of Jesus Christ. When we fix our gaze, when we fix our eyes, isn't that the word that we heard earlier this year? When we fix our eyes, when we fix our gaze on Jesus, his glory reflects out of us and it is natural. It is natural to the point where you see people coming to Jesus and you don't even have to try. You just have to be obedient and present. You want to see those people in your lives know him. All you have to do is gaze upon Jesus' face. Look in his face. Travis said it. It's not just a girl thing to say intimate relationship with him. It is a guy thing. It's a man thing. It's a woman thing. It's a human thing that as we gaze into the face of Jesus, as we keep our eyes fixed on him, we gain freedom. We gain liberty. We bring freedom. We bring light. We bring goodness. We bring glory wherever we go. Oh, it's so good. Will you stand with me? Glory bearers, will you stand with me? Jesus reflectors, will you stand with me? Freedom carriers, will you stand with me? Will you stand with me? Will you stand with him? Because who is he? What has he done? What do you carry, Barb? The glory of the Lord is all over you. Where the glory of the Lord is, there is financial freedom. Where the glory of the Lord is, there is physical healing. Where the glory of the Lord is, there is redemption of entire families. Entire families. Where the glory of the Lord is, there is redemption of daughters and sons. Where the glory of the Lord is, there is a county. There is a city. There is a country. There is a nation. There is a planet. Consumed with the power of God. Do you know that we carry that power? That same power that raised Jesus up out of that grave. This is truth. That same power that raised Jesus up out of that grave lives in you. Lives in you. That same power. We position ourselves with unveiled faces. Thank you, Father, for giving me the vision to see. Thank you, Father, for introducing me to your Son. Thank you, Father, for saving my life, for redeeming my shame, for taking it all and just washing it away. This is good news. From glory to glory. That phrase last week when we were talking about the transition and God said we're moving this body from glory to glory because in him changes from glory to glory. Not bad to better. Not oh so to okay. Glory to glory. This week that phrase has been repeated. God is calling us as the body of believers. God is calling us as followers of Christ. Not just me because I'm preaching up here, but you as a follower of Christ. It is time and it is your place and it is your authority and it is your inheritance to move from glory to glory. I don't know what else to say. You take it from here, man. It's so good. Let's praise him.